Right now, Sean Taylor. When the 24-year-old died a little over 24 hours ago, many described his murder as a tragedy, but there were also many who were not surprised. Taylor, the star defensive back with the Washington Redskins, was shot when somebody broke into his home in southern Florida in the middle of the night. Taylor confronted the intruder outside the bedroom where his girlfriend and his baby daughter were sleeping. It might have been a random burglary, but Taylor's house had been burgled less than 2 weeks earlier, and there's suspicion that his death may be linked to incidents in his past. It's that part of Taylor's life that led columnist Drew Sharp to write that while what happened is tragic and terrible, there was sadly nothing shocking about a young black male meeting a violent end. Drew Sharp writes for the Detroit Free Press and joins us in a moment. We also want to hear from you. Are we so numb to this kind of news that there's nothing shocking about it anymore? Why? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Drew Sharp, welcome to the program.
Neil, glad to be a guest. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. In your piece, you write that you were among those who were not surprised by Sean Taylor's death.
No, I'm not. It's a sad commentary for where we're at in society right now, and that you see not just athletes, but just use it from the framework of a young black male between the ages of 15 and 25, homicide is a leading cause of death. And unfortunately, here you have a young man who, despite all this financial and career success, he was unable to avoid just becoming another sad number in that growing list. And what we're seeing with athletes today, I feel, is that more and more of them have to realize, it should be a wake-up call to these athletes, that perhaps it's time has come to do things with their lifestyle that perhaps does not help them stand apart. Celebrity has become a very dangerous occupation now. You see a lot of stories where athletes are becoming targets for carjackings and other episodes. And in Sean Taylor's case, it could very well be that this was just a random burglary that went tragically awry. But you cannot ignore the elephant in the room. You cannot ignore a troubled, checkered past in his brief NFL career that this young man had. And, it could very well be that was a contributing factor in the cause of his death.
By all accounts, Sean Taylor had changed over the last year and a half, in particular after the birth of his daughter, whom he apparently took almost everywhere with him, and had shown signs of maturity. But as you mentioned, there were a couple of incidents in his past where he was charged with brandishing a gun at some people who he thought were stealing some of his property, and also charged with hitting somebody in the face with a pistol.
Yeah, he was charged. He pled down to two misdemeanors for that, so he was able to maintain his NFL career. He signed a $40 million contract with the Washington Redskins as a rookie in 2004. But there was another episode not long after that where one of his cars, an SUV, was an assailant fired 15 shots into it. Again, was that the cause of what happened in the bedroom of his Miami home? We do not know. The police are going to investigate that. But when looking to try to put this whole thing in its proper context, you cannot ignore his past and the situation he put himself in. Again, by all accounts, from people who've played with him, who've known him the past year and a half, they're saying that he had turned the corner, that he had become more responsible with the way he viewed his own life, and it helped becoming a father for the first time. But I'm sure the police are in a murder investigation of this magnitude, because it's high profile, they're going to have to look at every angle for this, and his past is going to be part of the story.
You read consistently that Sean Taylor grew up in the mean streets of South Florida and with a rough crowd, but his father was the chief of police of the town next door from where he lived. It was a middle-class kid. He was a middle-class kid.
I mean, the stereotype is that he grew up in the ghetto of Miami, and that's not the case. He went to a very affluent suburban high school in the Miami area. Like I said, his father... I mean, how often do you hear of athletes who the father is never around? They were pretty much raised by a single mother. His father, Pedro, had a very significant part of his life. But, and the way people need to look at this is that the situation when Sean Taylor first got into the NFL, it was though he surrounded himself with people of questionable character, as if to suggest that for him to be to fulfill the role of a prominent black athlete, star athlete that you have to associate yourself with people of questionable nature. And that's, you know, if that's how these young people think, again, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that we're seeing these stories involving NFL players where you had Tank Johnson of the Chicago Bears was involved. There was a fight in a bar, and there was a shooting. His bodyguard was killed. Pac-Man Jones, another NFL player, you know, who was involved at an incident in a strip club, part of his entourage, you know, fired a shot that paralyzed the man. When you keep hearing stories like this, when you keep seeing players, these athletes, conveniently fit themselves into a convenient stereotype like this, you know, this is why when you see a story like this, as tragic as it was with Sean Taylor, you're not surprised that it did occur.
You also wrote that maybe the death of Sean Taylor should be a wake-up call, but you note in your piece that last year on New Year's Eve, Denver defensive back Darren Williams was shot and killed in the early hours in the night, sitting in the back seat of a stretch Hummer outside of a nightclub when people shot up the car in a drive-by attack. Shouldn't that have been a wake-up call too?
It should have been. Again, and you know, at some point, these athletes, I do feel, black and white, just athletes in general, feel that they are invulnerable to these type of things, these type of situations. But they must realize that celebrity comes with significant risk today because, you know, you make yourself a convenient target now when you are a celebrity in sports or just an entertainer, period. And, you know, you saw these stories about players getting their cars carjacked. I'm curious to know what those cars look like. I mean, I've been a sports writer for 25 years. I've gone through a lot of parking lots where the players park their cars, and you see a lot of, you know, to steal their phrase, tricked out, pimped out cars, you know. And they do that for one reason only. They want to stand out. When I would think maybe now, perhaps in this case, these athletes, these high-profile people finally realize, you know what, I need to conduct my life in a way where I can still live it to the way I feel like I should be able to, but also not deliberately make myself stand out in the crowd to the point where I'm drawing potentially negative attention to myself.
Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. Again, we're talking with Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press, and you can join us by calling 800-989-8255 or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. And let's start with Michelle. Michelle's calling not far away, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, I'm an emergency physician in Grand Rapids and Allegan County. You're on the other side of the state from you, Drew, and I think it's more than just with the athletes. I think our whole culture has gotten to the point where people don't talk about beating each other up. If a couple of males have a problem with each other, they talk about how they're going to waste somebody or kill somebody. Our whole language suggests that the ultimate result of some kind of altercation is going to be death. And I really attribute that to what we're seeing in the media. And I know there's a lot of controversy about that, but I've seen some wonderful studies that really, really show it makes a difference.
Well, you see it there in the emergency room.
Betcha. Shootings and stabbings. Yeah. I saw one man who got stabbed by his brother because he took a cookie. He didn't live at home anymore. You know, and it just blows my mind to see that people think that this is the way that you handle these things. Hmm. And, you know, I've been threatened with death for sewing up an 11-year-old's arm. You know, if you touch me, Doc, I'm going to kill you kind of thing. And, you know, when you're being bombarded by all these murders on TV and entertainment becomes CSI, you know, what do these young people walk away with?
Yeah, but, you know, it's very easy just to say it's the media's fault. You know, it starts at the home. It starts with the family. If you want to talk about the breakdown of society, it starts with the breakdown of the American family. There are no values there. Again, there is no appreciation for the sanctity of life in that now everyone, there's always going to be confrontation in life. But what's happened now, it's easy to inject guns or knives into that confrontation. And when that happens, that's when you meet a tragic ending.
Correct. It's, you know, people can die from a direct assault, but that's a lot more unusual than when people start using weapons. And, you know, in terms of the breakdown of the home, I'm a divorced Catholic who didn't have a choice because of domestic violence, and I am very proud of the fact that I finally had the guts to walk out of an abusive relationship and raise my daughter in spite of the regular assaults I would take by, oh, your daughter comes from a broken home. She's an outstanding athlete and honor student, and has her mother's values and does volunteer work as I do. And so it's not just about those kinds of things. I mean,
But you still have the values, and you are to be commended for having the courage for doing what you did. But again, you still have the values. You still have the strong values, even though it's a single mother.
Yeah, I think you still have to be making careful judgments about some of these things. There's a lot of people out there with values who maybe don't have traditional families, but you know, we need to quit just idolizing the athletes, and let's put a little bit more energy into drawing attention to our scholars.
Michelle, yeah. We certainly hope your daughter will be one of them.
I am hoping so, too. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
We're talking with Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press about the murder of pro football player Sean Taylor. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Lynn. Lynn with us from Aurora, Illinois.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment about the extreme difficulty to extricate oneself from a gang or gang-type relationship. I'm a high school teacher. I've spent a lot of time working with dropout populations, working, you know, so hard with these kids to help them get a good life, only to see them graduate from high school. Some go on to college, and they are reinvolved with the gang. Those people are their friends. That's who they've grown up with, and only to see them reinvolve with that. And unfortunately, many of them do die in those situations. I mean, I've had several students that we've lost to that when you thought you had them beyond. And we have kind of a really bleak motto, and we say in our dropout program, you know, you can take the boy out of the gang, but it's really hard to take the gang out of the boy. And I think that's some of the situation here. I would also like to really thank you for using the term athlete as opposed to sportsman. And I think that's one of the issues in not only high school, college, but professional sports, is we are rewarding people for being athletes, not sportsmen.
Getting back to Lynn's first point, Drew Sharp, it's been written since the death of Sean Taylor that several of his friends, his father's advisors, said, look, you need to get out of Southern Florida, move to the Washington area, come back for visits, but you need to break with your previous crowd.
Right. He needs to get away from that past, you know, and again, from all indications from I remember when the Redskins played the Detroit Lions earlier this year. I was reading some stories about Taylor and how everyone was saying that he seemed to be maturing, that he was trying to put some space between where he was at now from his past. But it's, you know, and people say it's a tough thing to try and break free from that. But you know what? We all have to make choices in our lives. We all have to, whether or not it's being with a gang, whatever. You reach a certain point where you have to decide that the people that you associate with, are they going to affect you positively or negatively? And, you know, and unfortunately, in Sean Taylor's case, you know, two or three years ago, when he was a rookie in the NFL, he did align himself with some shaky characters. And, you know, again, we don't know if that had anything to do with his tragic death a couple of days ago, but it's something that cannot be ignored. You have to look at that as a distinct possibility.
Thanks very much for the call, Lynn.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can go to John. John with us from Berkeley, California.
I'm amazed that your guest just repeated something. He said, we don't know, but. And to me, it is unprofessional and irresponsible to speculate with no evidence whatsoever that this young man's past or his associations with anyone had anything to do with his death. He could be the victim of a random act of violence, as many people are. And yet we have this writer and others saying we don't know the facts, but. And I think it's irresponsible.
No, it's not irresponsible. It's called, I think this is what I did today, I thought was balanced reporting. Our job in the media is to give you as many different angles of the story as possible.
Based on the fact.
We're not drawing a conclusion. I'm not drawing a conclusion that we definitely know what happened. What we're trying to do is put everything out there that could pertain to, that could be germane to this case.
I think that
is the basic responsibility of a journalist, I believe. What I wrote today, I thought was a balanced report.
I beg to disagree. Having worked as a journalist for more than 20 years, I beg to disagree. A journalist does not put everything out there based on speculation with no evidence whatsoever.
Well, here's part of the evidence. Okay, we're talking about a crime has been committed here, and I think you would agree as a journalist that part of the victim's history could very well play an important part in piecing together what happened here. I'm certain that the police are certainly looking at his past as that, correct?
I think they are,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, again, what we're doing as journalists right now is laying everything out there as balanced as possible. I believe I put in my column today that, yes, you know, it very well be that it was simply a home invasion. We also have the reports from people who have known Sean over the last year and a half, saying positive things about him. I can only speak for myself, I included every aspect from what we know publicly of this man's character from the last 4 years into this story today. And that, I think that's just part of the basic reporting of this story. Do we know the facts? Of course not. And this is why we're saying it's up to the police. The police will investigate. But I thought it would be a biased report and poor journalism on my part if I did a column, did a story on this, and only keyed on what Taylor's family and his friends and coaches were saying, that this was a great young man, ignore the stuff that happened a couple years ago. I would not be doing my job as a journalist if I ignored that.
Drew Sharp, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Drew Sharp, sports writer for the Detroit Free Press. Lynn Neary will be here tomorrow. Of course, Ira on Friday. We'll see you Monday in a special broadcast from Des Moines, Iowa. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.